one of the things about The Weeknd, sort of that decompression, you know, like, oh, we're done. And then you search, you know, what do I do in order just to feel the relief of it? For some folks, it's, you know, you got to spend a bunch of money. You got to go, you know, well, I'll go to a beer garden. We'll do this. But for some folks, and I can tell you, those who contact and utilize the services of Elite Outdoor Innovations fall into this category. They've got it at home. You know, outside, fresh air, the sounds of, you know, a water feature, waterfall, flowing water, got the stars above, you got, you know, the crackling of the fire, especially as we get to those cooler nights, and that experience that so many people only get when they go away or they, you know, they go to some sort of resort looking for that experience, you get that at home, and it's a wonderful thing. It's peace of mind. I'm a big believer that part of physical health is emotional and psychological health, and that's why we're drawn to that sort of thing. So to create that sort of experience in your own home so that you don't have to go far away to get it, just go to EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. Their contact info is there, and ask them what they can do for you. That's EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. And Don Luzader has our news.
And good morning. Police do have crime scene tape up around a home on Chicago near Kearney and Grant in northwest Springfield. Someone told the people who live there that a man had been shot to death in their backyard just after 2 this morning. Officers say the victim is 20 years old. 2 days after Greene County set a one-day record with 95 new cases of COVID-19, local health officials will update the community today on the prevalence of the disease. The Springfield-Greene County Health Department's news conference will also address prevention as college students return to the area. You can watch that news conference live at 10 this morning. We'll have that streaming video at KSGF.com. And a proposal by Missouri's Republican governor to give the Attorney General the power to prosecute homicides in St. Louis is spurring backlash. Governor Parsons' directive Monday was widely seen as criticism of St. Louis's first black prosecutor, Kim Gardner. Parsons has said the goal is to help combat a surge in violent crime. Black Lives Matter activist Sean King says Republicans are trying to undermine Gardner. Gardner supports greater police accountability and other reforms. That is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert forecast. Sunny, 94 high today, 70 tonight with a slight chance of showers continuing into tomorrow morning. Then sunny with a high of 90. Sunny, hot Saturday, 92. For a high, it is 71. Now you want on full display proof that Black Lives Matter do not matter. Black lives do not matter to Black Lives Matter. That is it right there. You've got Governor Parson, who has been, you know, leaders of St. Louis have reached out, we need help last year. Governor needs to do something. So he's saying to the, you know, legislature, all right, we need the authority for the Attorney General to be able to help if requested in St. Louis. Out of the 161 murder cases that are, you know, currently existing, only 30-some of them have been prosecuted. And so the governor said, well, we're not talking about coming and taking over cases that are being dealt with, but if requested, and if nothing has happened within 90 days, then we will offer the full resources of the state in order to help out. Now, who do you think the number one demographic victim of murder is in St. Louis? Black people. You would think that this would be something Black Lives Matter would say, thank you. Thank you. An organization that claims they want justice for black victims of violence, yet here's somebody, the governor is offering it up, and they accuse him of playing politics. Black lives do not matter to these organizations. It is political. And there's no other explanation. I don't know. I don't care if you are somebody who has marched with or financially supported Black Lives Matter understand this is what's going on, at least in St. Louis. Is that really what you want your efforts to go towards? People who are fighting against the state offering up resources if requested in order to help prosecute individuals who have murdered people, with a disproportionately high number of those victims being African Americans? I mean, it is a no-brainer. They're not only not caring about black lives, but they are contributing to an effort that blocks justice being served for black lives. They are the enemy of black lives in a case like that. Moving on. We were talking about, off air, President Trump's nickname for Kamala Harris. And we're a little underwhelmed, but I don't know. I think expectations have been set really high. And you came across what I guess he's provided that nickname for her, Sarah.
Yeah. It is Phony Kamala.
Yeah.
But he also has called her Marge Simpson in the past, which I think is personally better.
Because of the voice. Yeah. She does that. I don't know what it is. I can't stand her voice. I just can't. It's like, I don't, there's a condescending component to it, but it's sort of that shaky, like she's uncertain of what she's saying sometimes. I don't like it. It grates on me. I think I'd call her like, lock them up and throw away the key, Kamala, or something like that. Something that points to all of the people that she was responsible for throwing in prison, and some of which she fought to keep there after they were exonerated. I mean, there's some awful cases. There's a case of a guy who was you get out on a technicality. Judge declared you're innocent. You know, he spent 9 years in prison. 9 years. And despite the fact that it wasn't like, again, he got out on a technicality, but he was innocent. I think it was DNA or something that cleared him. And a judge said, oh, yeah, this is innocent. Kamala Harris's office still made him register as a sex offender, even though he didn't do it. And did everything they could to block him from getting the in that position. I don't know if this was because of a state law, but there's a compensation component where if the government locks you up for something you didn't do, you're due compensation. She fought it the whole way, tooth and nail. I mean, it's just vengeance. That's, you know, whether she's wanting to prove that her office was not wrong in, you know, falsely convicting some guy, or now the timeline on it, getting into some detail here. He was, you know, going to be taken off the sex offender list. He had been given, you know, all of these obvious steps her office were going to take until he sought compensation for being locked up while innocent. And then her office all of a sudden said, guess what? We're going to make you register as a sex offender again, even though we know you didn't do it. I mean, that's just one case of many. This is the sort of person she is. We'll talk about the nickname thing coming up here a little bit. Sarah has a whole list of nicknames that Trump has for people, but I'm on this subject now. And I want to mention this apparent contradiction. I say apparent because people understandably think, well, you know, on one hand, she's really, really liberal, but then, you know, she's kind of being portrayed as really tough on crime, and that's not a liberal thing. I don't understand. Listen, here's the thing about people on the left. They hate power when they don't have it. When they do, they love it. You know, they portray themselves when they are out there amongst the people as being against them. Antifa is a perfect example of this. Antifa portrays themselves as an organization that's against this overwhelming power. What do you think they would do if they were in charge of the government? Do you think all of a sudden we'd go back to having our constitutional rights and liberties? Hell no. They would be rounding people up and throwing them in prison for posting things online that were critical of them. liberals, progressives, whatever you want to call them, authoritarian, socialist, they love power. They love wielding power. They just don't like it when others have it. And when others have it, they, you know, just accuse them of being dictators and everything else under the sun. Trump's a perfect example. You know, I see you get all these lefties out there, some in government, some as citizens, that, you know, set up hotlines so you can report on people for not wearing masks. They dictate when businesses can be open, how many people they can have in there. But then they call Trump a dictator. it's their perspective. They don't mind dictatorships as long as they're the ones in charge. So Kamala Harris, when it comes to voting, when it comes to, you know, philosophy, when it comes to laws that are created and being in the Senate, things that are considered to be far on the left, and she has voted consistently to be one of the, or in some sessions, the most left-wing radical in terms of voting in the Senate. Well, once she was in, or prior to that, in power as a law enforcement individual, yeah, she was rounding people up while she herself, according to her own statements, was a drug user, laughing about it on a radio show, was throwing people in prison to the tune of somewhere between 1,500 and 1,800 people in prison for marijuana use. That's very consistent with the authoritarian left. It's not a contradiction. It's one of the reasons why, you know, Obama puts kids in cages. Well, that's perfectly okay. Trump doesn't, even though it's carrying on a policy of the Obama administration. And, oh, my gosh, it's the worst thing in the world. We need the UN to come in. This is a human rights violation, because as long as they're the ones in power doing it, they're fine with it. That's the part of the mindset of someone like Kamala Harris that should frighten people. Not that she would round up drug or, you know, marijuana smokers and throw them in prison, but that she openly, joyfully talks about her drug use. Talk about, yep, smoking marijuana. And in fact, she says she thinks it should be legal. But when she was in a position of power, she used that power as an authoritarian to throw. That's the thing that should be scary. That mindset. That your rights belong to me. I choose what rights you have. Sure, I can smoke dope all I want, but if I'm in power, I'll round you up and throw you in prison for doing the same thing. And the ownership of it, she doesn't hide it. That tells you the level of elitism and authoritarianism, that there isn't even any concern of, people are going to see this as hypocritical, that people were taken from their families. Families were broken up because of marijuana usage by Kamala Harris. Kids taken away from their parents. Their parents were put in prison. She doesn't even worry about looking hypocritical or cruel as she laughs on the Breakfast Club radio show about, oh yeah, I smoke marijuana. Went so far as to say, and I inhale, referencing Bill Clinton's claim when he was running for president that he did it for the flavor, you know, he didn't actually inhale, making sure everyone, heck yeah. That is a very, very dangerous sort of person to have in power. Don Luzader has got a traffic update for us. I'm Nick Reed. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. I want to read to you a review. Warms my heart. This is Lacey and her experience with Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. She said, this was our first time buying a house, and Emily made the process so easy. She was great to work with all the way around. She showed great attention to detail, knowledgeable, and walked us through every step, easy to communicate with and contact. She was great about working with my husband and my unflexible schedule to show us houses. Whenever we put in offers, she gave us honest opinions and did her best to make our offer look great. We looked at a lot of homes and looked for a long while, but she never seemed like we were wasting her time or inconveniencing her. She worked hard to get us exactly what we were looking for. She always made sure we were taken care of and did so with a smile. She truly loves her job and is good at it. You cannot go wrong choosing Emily as your realtor. There's nothing more I can say, or that I should say, beyond what it is that Lacey wrote about her experience and her husband's experience with Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. 890-1455 is her number. Visit her Facebook page. You can see reviews. And if, by the way, if you have used the services of Emily Johnson, I'd recommend, if you haven't done a review on her Facebook page, do that. I mean, that helps other people know that, you know, that with the sort of work that she does, it helps communicate that, helps people make decisions. I want to mention one other thing about Kamala Harris this morning, and then got some other things to talk about. I mentioned her, the authoritarian personality trait of being liberal, but when you have power, you wield it greatly and sometimes unfairly. And people, you know, in fact, I think there's going to try and be an attempt, I'm sure there already has been, to portray her as actually kind of conservative. You know, look at her when she was in law enforcement as, you know, the top cop in California. Well, people on the left are always that way when they get in power. They condemn it when other people have it, but when they have it, they wield it. And it isn't so much of concern the fact that she was throwing people in prison for marijuana usage, but her open and joyful acknowledgement that she herself smoked marijuana. Something that she would, that's the thing that should scare you, is that personality trait. But I want to explain another one, and it has to do with Proposition 8, which a lot of people don't remember. This was when Californians voted on marriage and whether marriage was going to be recognized as it traditionally had, or whether the definition of marriage was going to change to include same-sex couples. And the people of California voted, and they voted that marriage should stay as it always has been traditionally between a man and a woman. Now, as you know, there are challenges to that. There were legal challenges to that. When you are the Attorney General of the state, your job is to defend the state despite what your personal political feelings are about the issues. Kamala Harris did not do that. She refused to do her job and defend the state's passage of Amendment 8. Because she personally didn't agree with it. Now, of course, and it's true to form for people on the left, they applauded her for it, for not doing her job because she didn't agree with it. Now, if we can flip it around and draw an analogy here, that would be like, I'm a police officer, I get a call because somebody's beating their kids, and I go to the house and I see some bruises, but I'm like, you know what? We've turned in such a mamsy-pamsy society today. I think kids need a little beating. And so I'm not going to arrest you. Now, would we accept that? Would we accept that I don't enforce laws that are in place because I personally don't agree with them? No. But that's how Kamala Harris, as Attorney General of California, acted. If there was some, she just wasn't going to, she just wouldn't do it. If you're the top law enforcement officer of your state, and you only enforce and defend laws that you personally agree with, is that really the sort of person that we want in the White House? That is a very dangerous characteristic. That's not about whether you support gay marriage at the time or not, or Proposition 8 or not. That was not your job. It's not your personal preference. But she made it that. Proudly so. Let's see here. Okay. We're going to get a break into traffic. Don Luzader will update us there also with news. And then much more ahead on this Thursday. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
Good morning. 2 days after Greene County sets a one-day record with 95 new cases of the coronavirus, local health officials will be updating the community later this morning on the prevalence of the disease. The Springfield Greene County Health Department's news conference will also address prevention as college students return to the area. We'll have that news conference live with streaming video at 10 this morning.
It's really
at KSGF.com.
Weird. So record number of cases?
A record number of one day record number of cases, yes.
How long has the mask mandate been in effect? A couple, three, 4 weeks, something like
close
that?
Close to a month, maybe. Yeah, maybe just under a month, yeah.
Was there, I thought there was a story like last week where they said that there was a dip and they were saying, oh, it's because of the mask mandate.
Yeah, there was a dip.
Yeah, I wonder now
we've dipped back upwards.
I wonder how they'll explain that in regards to the mask mandate.
You'll have to tune in to find out. Yeah. That's the suspense there.
Sometimes this is just what I find. This is my observation. That whenever people in charge make decisions, they will attribute the when good things happen to their decisions, but when bad things happen under the same, then they sort of ignore it. Or they say, well, no, that doesn't count. It's just an observation I've noticed.
Now, what I wonder is that those 95 cases, are they counting the big increase we had at the Greene County Jail in those numbers?
Could
and
be.
I don't know that for sure, but it would make sense if we have had that.
Which and that's another thing that I find interesting are the two areas. Well, the one area that's like the most locked down across the country when it comes to coronavirus are nursing homes. Yeah, that's where the most deaths occur.
Yeah.
Of course, that's because they're very vulnerable. But then also, I mean, it's like what other area of the country do you have complete and total control over people's behavior? It's the prison system and the jails. Mm-hmm. Yet somehow,
here we are.
We seem to, I mean, we were at one point, we were just letting people out of jail because we're like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. They may not wear masks or whatever. You control them.
Yeah.
It's such a odd thing.
And, you know, some of the courts, from what I'm gathering, are, you know, making decisions to where they don't send as many people to jail right now.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. And I think it's not lost on a lot of people that here we have a situation where in jail people didn't have to wear masks. But if you were out, you did have to. And I'm sure some people scratch their head and think, this is sort of odd that people who are incarcerated in the Springfield area seem to have more rights than people who aren't when it comes to wearing masks.
Yeah, and only recently did they get the masks for them to start wearing. That is it, man.
Thank you very
much.
Sir. KTTS First Alert forecast, mostly sunny, high of 90 today, 70 tonight with a slight chance of showers overnight. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers in the morning, high of 90. And Saturday, mostly sunny, hot, high of 92. Current temp, 72, so we're slowly getting there. We've got the KSGF Great Escape with Gun Tech and Nixa coming up. We've got, this is what I call the stall. Now, I was smoking ribs last night, so I've got that stuck in my head. Anyone who smokes meat knows what I'm talking about. But with the Great Escape, this happens where the first 24 hours, we get about 50 to 60% capacity sold. Within the next 5 or 6 days, we get about 80 to 90%. And then there's just a few that stay open, that window there for, an extended period of time. And that's where we are now. So there are just a few that are available. Last conversation I had with Shelley over at Edelman, there were a few junior suites left. So if you are curious, interested, you want to enjoy us for incredible experience, then go to ksgf.com and you can go ahead and reserve your place. Full payment's not even due until November, so you don't have to have all of it up front. And if you do have any questions, then the contact info and availability to get a hold of Edelman Travel is there, so you can ask any questions that you may have. Now, Kamala Harris, her latest nickname, Phony Kamala. This is Trump. I don't know. You know, the thing, this is how I gauge whether it's a good nickname or not. Does it make me laugh? And I thought, I don't know. Now, he did call her Marge Simpson once, evidently because of her voice. That was pretty funny. Sarah has gone through a listing, and I mean, there's just a trove of nicknames that Donald Trump has given people. And it appears to me, as we go through the list, that oftentimes he's auditioning them, because there are certain, like right now, Joe is Sleepy Joe. You know, that's what he's settled on. And I think sometimes what happens is he tries him out a little bit and gets a feel for him before he decides whether to stick with him. And you've gone through and you found some of your favorites anyhow.
Yeah, I compiled the best. Are you ready for
him? Yes.
Okay. Where's Hunter for Hunter Biden?
Oh, yeah.
Little Michael or Mini Mike.
Mike Bloomberg.
Yep. Mr. Tough Guy. That's John Bolton.
Oh, yes.
This one rhymes. I like this. Proven Liar, James Clapper.
Yeah. Well, yep. It's right on point.
Wild Bill for Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah. I can see. Yeah.
Yes. You can't forget Crooked Hillary.
Well, of course.
Lion Ted.
Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was during the primary. He and Ted Cruz really had some hardcore knockdown dragouts there during that period of time. I remember there was that period where Trump sort of left open the question as to whether or not Ted Cruz's dad was involved in the Kennedy assassination. Trump has his way of kind of throwing things out there. I mean, this is obvious at this point, just to get people in a frenzy, and they never, ever disappoint.
Do you remember that conspiracy theory that Ted Cruz was a Zodiac killer?
Yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, it was to the point people had to do the timeline to be like, couldn't be.
Okay, moving on. Leaking, sneaking, Diane. That's Diane Feinstein.
Yeah.
Al Frankenstein. For Al Franken.
Yeah, his personality is pretty in line with Frankenstein.
Fat Jerry for Jerry Nadler. Mm-hmm.
You know who most recent video I saw Jerry Nadler, he was on the streets and he was being asked about all the riots, and he claimed that was a myth, that there were no riots occurring.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he looked, you know who he was to me in my mind? I saw the Penguin from Batman. All he needed was a top hat and then a monocle. He just almost like his weight distribution is so up front that he kind of has to lean back so he doesn't fall over forward. And the Penguin was that way, at least in a number of portrayals. Danny DeVito, his portrayal of the Penguin, that's in my mind when I see Jerry Nadler walking around. That's waddling. I guess that's what penguins do. That's what I think of. But Fat Jerry, no, that works too.
We also have Foul-Mouthed Omar. The Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor. Who?
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, Pocahontas.
Yeah, that has probably been his most on point and damaging. I mean, you know, it really identified who she was, as somebody that steals other people's heritage. One of the things that is just cracks me up when you stand back and you watch all of this stuff play out, and you know, they still to this day, they will really trash on Donald Trump for name calling, but of course they've done it forever and a day. The difference between Donald Trump name calling is that, if you notice this, I've mentioned it before, he name calls politicians or people in power. And he does specifically, as opposed to the left, where they just take whole groupings of Americans and name call them deplorables, racist, homophobes, science deniers, bitter clingers, all that sort of stuff. And I think that is a very profound distinction, that their ridicule is of the American people, while his ridicule is of the people who are wielding power over the American people. Don't you think that's a profound difference? I do. I think that's very, very meaningful, the recognition of that. But while they, of course, mock and criticize Trump as being a divider and a name caller, they've shifted to try to do that themselves. Nancy Pelosi, I've come up with a new name for Donald Trump. It's called Make Things Worse, or whatever. They never work. They're not that clever. And the thing is, they do it wrong. You know how Trump debuts a new nickname? He just throws it out there. He just casually throws it out there. And then people like it, it works, or it doesn't. The Democrats, their problem is they like set everyone up. Like, oh, okay, everybody. Hey, we have a new nickname for Donald Trump now. Are you ready for it? It's like, you're trying too hard. You know, you've got to. That's not how this works. The magic of Trump is that it's just, it flows casually as if everyone knows who I'm talking about. I don't need to point out that this is a nickname for this person. When I say Pocahontas, you know I'm talking about Elizabeth Warren, contributor to the recipe book Pow Wow Chow. I think that's what it was called. Pow Wow Chow. Yeah, Pow Wow Chow. And that's one of the... One of the contributors was Elizabeth Warren, because of course she was claiming that she was Native American. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a number of different text messages in. I'll go through and see if any of them are text messages that I'll read on the air. And then I'm going to decide where to go next. As is often the case, I have a great deal of information that's going to flow over until tomorrow's show. But we'll see what we can get in here before the show is done today. More in just moments. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. A1 Custom Car Care fluids are very important in life in so many ways, ways that aren't appropriate to even talk about on a morning show. But what is appropriate is making sure that your fluids in your vehicle are properly maintained, that you get those fluids tested to make sure there aren't any contaminants in there that could do damage. Now, you really could be talking about a couple things here, couldn't I? But when it comes to your vehicle, I know, you know, your oil change, get it done every so many thousand, you know, now even your vehicle tells you, hey, it's time for an oil change, right? A lot of these vehicles do that. What about your brake fluid? What about your power steering fluid? What about the antifreeze, the coolant, the transmission fluid? How often are you supposed to get that checked even? Do you know? Have you ever had those things checked? Well, this is what A1 Custom Car Care can do for you. Have that routine maintenance schedule. So, you know, once you hit 50,000 miles, perhaps, for your vehicle, there are certain fluids that get checked. Maybe it's 100,000 miles. You may own a vehicle and you're like, I've never had that stuff checked. Just have it checked. They can tell you whether you need to change it or whether it's okay, or you may need to in the next 5,000 miles or so. Make your vehicle last longer. That way, if you want to keep it longer, you can. And if you don't, it'll be of a greater value when you try to sell it. A1 Custom Car Care, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield Highway 60, Republican West Sunset. Across from Classic Rock Coffee, it's A1 Custom Car Care. Joplin Globe editorial board has an editorial, our view, tax give back isn't a good idea. This is my favorite sentence. This is regarding President Trump's executive order that extends supplemental unemployment benefits, $300 from federal contributions with $100 from state contributions. Now, one of their arguments, and here's the line I love. That's an unfunded mandate. That's an unfunded mandate at a time when the state is already cutting spending for higher education and many state responsibilities and programs are going begging. The same editorial board supported Amendment 2, which is a massive financial burden. A massive unfunded mandate in which they fully said, you know, we are going to have to take this money from. So now all of a sudden, well, people shouldn't be getting. Now, I'm not arguing in favor of this extra $400. But it's so remarkable, the inconsistencies that supposedly thinking people have. This is supposed to be a grouping of individuals that are so in tune and so intelligent and have such ability to critically think that together they all formulate a thought and a suggestion that the readers in that particular area, the Joplin area, are supposed to take into consideration. I mean, you want to talk about an unfunded mandate amendment, too, yet they supported that. This, on the other hand, well, I mean, this is just where are they going to get this money? Well, where the hell were you on Amendment 2? Expanding Obamacare. It's unbelievable. I knew that this, I laughed as I've heard this pop up just a little here and there, particularly amongst Democrats. I just can't believe they put this burden on these states. How are these states supposed to find this money? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's not unbelievable. A pet peeve of mine is the misuse of words. I try to catch myself when I'm guilty of it. And it was a misuse of the word unbelievable to claim that inconsistencies of that level are unbelievable, because they're not. In fact, it's par for the course. You thought that there was a nightmare scenario when it comes to mail-in balloting that Democrats are pushing, not for absentee, but just send out all these ballots and grab what you can and fill it out and send it in. This next story, which they are Connecticut. They're just going to set up random drop boxes where anybody can just go cram them, just put them in the drop box. You don't even have to go through the postal. Don't worry, postal service will pick it up, or someone will pick it up. They're just going to have these random boxes where anyone can go and put. I kid you not. The details on that next. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Ballot. Drop boxes, next legal fight in voting, CNN. Millions of Americans expected to vote by mail this fall as the nation grapples with the coronavirus pandemic. By the way, I mentioned last week that they've done studies on this and show that there is no increase in coronavirus amongst people who stand in line to vote. But why let that get in the way? State of Connecticut recently expanded the use of ballot drop boxes, giving people a way to bypass the U.S. Postal Service. Voter Marcy Millward saying it's very simple. Fill it out, drop it off, no problem. Yeah. Hell, fill out as many as you want. I mean, we already know parts of the state that have done this mail-in balloting, when they mail them out, there'll be stacks of them left in apartment lobbies, at nursing homes. Now you just fill out as many as you want. Just nobody's there to verify that you're the one who that it's your ballot. None of that stuff. You just cram it full. I mean, this is fantastic. Drop boxes have been installed around the state of Connecticut, one of several changes made to create more options for voting during the pandemic. Connecticut Secretary of State Denise Merrill said it's been pretty much uncontroversial. They're strongly in favor because it gives them more options. I mean, I don't know that they can make it any easier to steal an election and any more blatant than they already have. This is clearly to allow for individuals to just stacks and stacks of ballots. See, it might look suspicious if you show up at the post office with bagfuls of ballots. But if it's just at some drop box somewhere, like a video rental return, and you're cramming it in, hey, let me tell you what else could be done. Let's say there's a drop box in an area that is known to have a very high percentage of Republican voters. What happens when somebody drops an incendiary device in there and burns them all up? What do you do then? You think that won't happen? Just having them sitting out there in a box that people can put things in? Good Lord. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I will talk to you tomorrow. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1.